Chapter 14 Love and Blood. I lay in the dark holding a pack of tissues, listening to Elsa's ragged breathing as she went in and out of sleep. I passed her a tissue whenever a stoppage woke her, then the pills would carry her back to sleep. When people stopped falling out of the sky, the day of Gehenna, I took an embassy car and drove out to the suburb past Neve Tzedek, where my parents lived. Driving was difficult downtown, streets clotted with cars that had gone out of control as their drivers died. Some automatic cars were stalled, pushing against piles of metal and flesh. I tried not to drive over bodies, but it was impossible. I saw perhaps 50 people walking or standing in all of downtown Tel Aviv, sharing with me the inexplicable gift of life. On the thruway there were long stretches of uninterrupted pavement, and then immense pile-ups surrounded by empty, undamaged cars. Of course people would stop, then open their doors, and take one breath of unfiltered air. My mother's neighborhood looked unaffected, except for a few cars oddly parked in yards or in the middle of the street. There were no people about, but that could have been normal. The front door was unlocked. I called for her, and, of course, there was no answer. I found her in the kitchen, lying on her back in a tidal pool of blood. The door to the garden had been kicked down from the outside. A nurse by training, combat nurse by politics, she had rushed to the knife rack and snatched a razor-sharp Toledo steel paring knife, a souvenir from Spain that she used daily and kept keen. A straw in her left hand, she had tried to give herself an emergency tracheotomy. Then nicked an artery, a carotid artery. Of course, the tracheotomy wouldn't have helped. She wrote in blood on a white plastic cutting board, "Can't exhale," with a drying fingerprint apostrophe. She had always been careful about grammar. Too much blood in this life.